whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Awesome win. It was a tough turnaround, long day yesterday. But the puck decisions were freaking awesome in the game. We played a hell of a game. We played the game the right way. Unbelievable job by Tucky, keeping us alive in the shootout. And JJ finishing off. Great 2 points.
You deserve the win today. Give it to Yoki. Show us off every day.
Okay. Bestowed to his countrymen the winning vest, if you will. And that's a tough way to come back in the lineup for Henry Jokiharju with a face full of John Carlson's stick, which was inadvertent on a follow through and required Henry to be wearing a full mask the rest of the way. But that's almost always what it takes to prevail, especially when you're up against the top team in the conference.
I had to go back and look at the play. That's the play where Charlie Lindgren lost his glove. That's why I wasn't paying attention to Henry Jokiharju, because, you know, Lindgren had lost his glove. Thompson had tried to tuck it in. And yes, poor Henry was coming in because he saw the puck in the crease thinking, oh, I'm going to get a goal. I'm going to get a goal. And he ends up with a mouthful of, like, puck and stick and, you know, bloodied, and comes back with a bubble. And then he gets boarded by tough guy Dylan Strome later in the game, and he went headfirst into the boards. It was a tough game, a tough return for Jokiharju physically, but happy to see that he played well. And the other injury to note is Jiří Kulik, who halfway in the second period ended up with a lower body injury, didn't return. So from that moment, the Sabres kind of looked at, well, you know, rotating 11 forwards. They did that for a little bit in the second, but in the third, they went down to 3 lines, 9 forwards. Lafferty ended up with 1 shift in the third. Obi Kubel didn't play in the third because Lindy Ruff was like, I'm keeping 3 lines going. Right. And that's the pace and the rhythm that we need to have right now. So Krebs went to the middle with Benson and Quinn. And that was a line. That's a line that actually did pretty good when you look at the numbers.
Where's Quinn in all of this, in your opinion?
I really think that Quinn is a little bit lost when it comes to the 5-on-5 shuffle. Where do you play him? Where do you fit him? Right. Like Peterka now has kind of found, you know, Alex Tuck as and McLeod as a line that, okay, they produced yesterday and it was good to see. And you do have Thompson and Zucker that have played well as a duo with Cousins in the middle. So Quinn is kind of lost in that 5-on-5 shuffle. I like that Lindy Ruff is using Quinn on the top power play. And I felt like that power play goal by Tage Thompson yesterday, the one-timer, was a direct impact on Peterka and Quinn's zone entry. Zone entries are so important in power play. And Dylan Cousins has had tough time with zone entries on the power play. So you need another right-hand shot because he's coming down the right wing and you want to be able to hit him on his forehand. But the play that Peterka and Quinn made and then got possession and got it back to the point to Dahlin allowed for Thompson to be open. So I think that Quinn is going to continue to be on the power play, continue to be trying to get himself more of an impact at 5-on-5, but he's kind of lost in the shuffle now when it comes to the lines. And maybe with Benson and Krebs, that's, you know, something that will give him a little bit something to look forward to.
I was really hopeful just based on how the night had started for him being on a fourth line, that in the shootout, he could have improved to 4 out of 6 lifetime. He's 3 for 6, which is good. But based on everything he's gone through this year, it would have been really great for him to have had that, you know, that goal. That would have obviously taken the pressure off of Alex Tuck in the next round. But I'm also glad that Lindy chose to use him in that situation. So that speaks more to everything you're talking about, and that it's not just a, you're not going as well as I'd like you to be going, I'm not going to use you. Like, that to me would be unnecessary stubbornness. you know, by any coach. That's not a Lindy thing. I mean, you see this in sports, right? It's like, no. There's a reason this player is here, right? And Jack Quinn has the skills. So
Jack Quinn has the skills to perform in a shootout. And I think Alex Stuck's move is probably a direct relation to Jack Quinn being able to do that move. He didn't do it. He went to the back end. But I think that, you know, Tuck was probably thinking, well, the move is open now because Jack Quinn didn't do his move. Mm-hmm. I can pull that move. And the way the goalie's playing, I can get it done. So reading off one another, right? That's important. I remember my, like, you know, a couple of years with the Rangers, we had Erik Christensen and Wojtek Wolski on the team. And they were about as skilled as you can get. They weren't John Tortorella's favorite players 5-on-5 during the game. And sometimes they didn't see the ice in the third period or overtime. Then we'd get to the shootout, and you always had Erik Christensen and Wojtek Wolski in the shootout. Why? Because they had the skills and they were trusted in that spot. And I like that Lindy can trust Jack Quinn in that spot. Yeah, he didn't score, but to put him out there, especially after he moved him up the lineup with the Kulik injury and saying, hey, you know what? Like, we believe in you. It's just, it's hard to find a spot for you right now in the top six. So just, but we believe in you in the power play. We'll believe in you in the shootout as well. Like, you got to wait for the opportunity.
Chychrun's had such a nice offensive year for the Capitals. He had an opportunity to win it in overtime. He had an opportunity to extend it in the shootout. Didn't happen. But he is still top three in goals among defensemen in the NHL this year, and he is on an expiring contract. One can only assume he's going to be offered something by the Capitals reasonably soon, in your opinion. He's a $4.5 million defenseman right now. He has to be going north of $7 million on his next deal, right?
You
obviously
would think. You would think, but there's no
scenario where he makes less than $7 million. It's impossible. As an
I think there's a scenario he could make between $6 million and $7 million, and I think that he's proven that he can perform, and I think that that scenario could be in Washington. If the Washington Capitals are looking at their salary structure and they're like, look, we just got Pierre-Luc Dubois. We did, you know, that we want to keep you, but we'll keep you at $6.5 million. That's a decision that Jacob Chychrun's going to have to make. Maybe that's added a year or two at the end of the deal to try to make it longer. But
remember, Ovi's coming off the books after next year. John Carlson's near the end.
Is he? Like, though? Ovi's going to play until he's 55. So that's the thing.
He may retire the day after he breaks
Gretzky's
record.
He's going to want 1,000 goals. Like, Ovi's going to want 1,000 goals. Be the first to ever score 1,000. Be the first to score 900 and then score 1,000.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of extensions, what does one make of the Shohei Vetrano deal with the Ducks in Anaheim?
Okay, so this is an interesting deal where half of his money...
His name's Frank, by the way.
Yeah, it's not Shohei Vetrano. Frank Vetrano, but it's deferred money again. The Bobby Bonilla type of deal where he'll get almost $1 million a year for 10 years in 2035, in 10 years from now, right? So $9 million of the money, half of his contract is deferred for in 10 years from now, being paid between 2035 and 2045. That's interesting. That's interesting for a couple of things. Teams that are New York State, California, high tax kind of bracket to say, hey, the Pierre LeBrun said that the reason why, you know, Vetrano is probably going that way is that he doesn't plan to live in California after he's retired and would be probably paying less income taxes on that $9 million when he's, you know, settled somewhere in Tennessee or Florida or whatnot. So I look at a team like Buffalo being able to use those tools in the future to say, hey, we'll defer some money because if you want to live in a place where the income tax is not as much, you'll be using that tool to your advantage.
Another interesting headline today from Edmonton, the Jeff Skinner experience showing signs of life for Oilers.
Yeah, Jeff Skinner got himself on the scoreboard and, you know, a little bit, like, as we know, Jeff Skinner could be a very, very good player. Skinner can.
And considering the Oilers have navigated yet another terrible start and have not had meaningful contributions from a number of players, including the injured Evander Kane, like, don't you think the Oilers are poised to be exactly what they were last year?
probably a second half team and a playoff team that, you know, will. They won back-to-back games with Connor McDavid not getting a point in each of those games, right? I mean, they were able to rely on what was depth scoring and, you know, Hyman playing better now and producing, you know. And so there is definitely a bit of that. But I think what we've seen out of Jeff Skinner is he gives you a little something at times and it will go for a little bit and then it kind of disappears. And I think if he can continue to produce, then the Oilers are going to like what they get out of Jeff Skinner. I liked what we saw to Jeff Skinner when it was working. It's when it wasn't working that you're like, okay, what else are you getting?
You almost said it word for word. That was the next headline. What are they getting? The Rangers in Arthur Kaliev. They claimed him on waivers from LA. What do we think?
And look, it's been a tumultuous start to his career with Kaliev in LA.
Remember what I said about him last summer? He won't be on the Kings roster next year.
No, you're right. You did say that. What are they getting in New York? A young player that has kind of been in the doghouse in LA, maybe from, you know, not getting the chance to play an offensive role. Look, it's kind of like what they did with Kaapo Kakko, right? They're getting a Kaapo Kakko type player replacement. Same thing. It's Kaapo Kakko. It's Arthur Kaliev. That's what they're getting. Hopefully, it works there for the Rangers, but they're getting the same thing as Kaapo Kakko.
Are you A, surprised that Buffalo didn't pursue, or B, that the Rangers did?
I'm surprised the Rangers did. And look, I mean, the Rangers in their spot in the standings was early in the, you know, waiver wire. They were not the 22nd team to pick on the waiver. They put their waiver claim. Who knows if there was other teams past the Rangers that were going to claim Kaliev, but I'm surprised the Rangers claimed them. Just because I felt like they moved on from Kaapo Kakko because they're like, hey, we don't need him. We're going to move in a different direction. So they kind of fill the hole with the same type of guy.
I have two Islander headlines that don't require a comment from you. Islanders defenseman utilizing new strategy to unlock offense. And the other one is Islanders finally look like they have a promising farm system. I'm going to comment on the last part of it because Rochester just went in to beat Bridgeport, a team that still has one win on home ice this year. So enough about the Islanders. my goodness, some things. I can't believe it sometimes, like the way things are presented to us for our daily consumption. But we as humans tend to eat it up, right?
Well, we have to. That's what we do. You know, I've been truly entertained, I'll be honest with you, with the response that we're getting on social.
Oh, tell me more.
Well, because, you know, I mean, obviously, your all-time shootout Sabres list, you know, pick three players. Some people are adding a goalie. Obviously, Ryan Miller is the goalie. There's no brainer there. He's always been great in the shootout and, you know, should be that guy. But somebody said, and I think it's Cody that said, no shootout lineup is complete without Linus Omark. And I had to go back to see Linus Omark first shootout attempt against the Tampa Bay Lightning and Dan Ellis when he spun at center ice. And
not
then he did
Buffalo.
The fake slap shot and he went 5-0. That got me to laugh. So thank you, Cody, for bringing Linus Omark's name. He never did take a shootout attempt with the Sabres, though. Never made the list.
And Linus Omark should also make that list, as he was very good and continues to be in that regard. Obviously, Ryan Miller remains king. Real quick, super quick answer.
Okay.
Is Lane Hutson going to win the Calder?
I think yes.
Thank you.
I think yes.
We're back after this on Sabres Live. Stay with us.